This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. In returning and rest, we shall be healed, made whole, and then quite naturally want to help others. In returning and rest, we are set free. And you say to us, O Lord, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be. Amen. Please be seated. An 8-year-old girl was part of a study done by the children's magazine Highlights for Children, and she was asked the following question. If your parents lost their cell phones for a day, what do you think would happen next? And she said, they'd go nuts, but I'd like it. She wants to connect with them, for them to really be with her, to really be present with her without distractions, without electronics. We parent and grandparent types sometimes think it's the kids that are too wrapped up in their phones, but truth be known, we would do well to notice that we do the same thing at times. I know I do. As always, we've got to be what we want to see in others, for them to really see us modeling, especially children. They see right through us, if not anyway. And it's not just the electronics that distract us. Maybe it's the television on all the time, or the pressure when we're cooking dinner after a hectic day and we just can't hear the child wanting to share something from their day at school. Could be when any one of us, faced with news of something awful in the world, we have a hard time not allowing that to filter the way we look at the world. We allow popular culture to distract us, to take us away from who we are as a child of God. We get easily lost sometimes. Back in the day, distraction was depicted on a lot of sitcoms. I know I'm old enough, some of you are too, of the father or the husband sitting at the table with the newspaper up in front of his face and oblivious to everything and everyone. There's one verse in today's gospel that could easily be overlooked, easily lost in the frenzy that is Mark's gospel, this hurry-up, immediate gospel. Everything's done very fast. Well, in this gospel, everybody is frantic to see Jesus. He was just this new understanding to them. They couldn't quite get it. He's healing people. He's just starting his ministry. He'd only called 4 of the 12. They were following him, couldn't get enough. They wanted his divine energy, his divine love. And yet the teaching for them and the teaching for us today is what he models in that one little verse. It's the reason he could always be so present with the people. After healing Simon, Peter's mother-in-law, and then tons of others, and the whole city having gathered around the door trying to get at him, listen to verse 35 for what he does after such a hectic, busy day and night. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. We hear this throughout Scripture, of Jesus taking this time in relationship with God, in relationship with who he knew himself to be, He made sure he found the time. We hear this in Luke when it says, but Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. Often. And then after the feeding of the 5,000, we hear, after he sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. So these are just two examples of many, many others. Jesus knew to take the time to rest in God. And that's exactly the definition of prayer that St. Gregory the Great gave it. He called prayer resting in God. Well, this prayer, this rest, this relationship was the foundation of the ministry of Jesus Christ. And it is to be the foundation of our lives as well, so that we know we are grounded as children of God. And that is if we want the fruits of the Spirit, of love and peace and joy and patience and self-control and all the rest. And I would venture to say we all want that. Not too long ago, a woman came up to me and she said she was embarrassed to ask me, but she said, I don't know how to pray. How do I pray? And I told her that prayer was a conversation with God. And I told her that it started usually by talking to God and ended by listening. I had a poster up in my daughter Katie's room as she was growing up on the back of the door. And it was a little girl looking up at the sky, and that's exactly what it said on the bottom. Prayer begins by talking to God, and it ends by listening. By listening. And then I told her that's basically like the development of any kind of relationship. And you can compare it to our human relationships. And there's four ways we do that, the gradual progression. First, it starts out with acquaintanceship. Might be a neighbor we don't really know very well, so we might wave to them and say hello. Might be the checkout person in the grocery store that we see every week when we go in and we're, you know, acquaintances. Well, in prayer, this looks like saying grace, maybe, saying a quick prayer at bedtime. So we've got this acquaintanceship with God, but that's about it. Then the next step is friendliness. So that takes it a little further. It might be one parent talking to another parent at the school where both of their kids go, and they discuss a few things, and they get into the beginning of a little relationship, or maybe someone at the gym that you know, and you talk a little bit. You share friendly conversation, you feel at ease. In prayer, it takes a little more time now, and there's a little more listening that happens. Maybe you begin to experience God in nature or in prayerful reading of Scripture. The next level is friendship. You share personally about yourself. You risk being a little bit vulnerable. You listen to the other person now, your friend, and there's confidence. You share in each other's joys and each other's struggles. You're there to support one another. And so too in prayer. You now become aware of frequently sharing your heart's desire with God. Talking to God has now become spontaneous, and you're beginning to notice God all the time. And then the last level that is never ending and always deepening and deepening and deepening is intimacy. So you might have intimacy, obviously, with a spouse or a partner, if it's a healthy relationship. You may also experience that intimacy with a friend that you've had for a lifetime, where you can share everything and nothing. They already know you. They know everything about you. Maybe they know you better than you know yourself. You finish each other's sentences, and you're able to sit together in the silence with such an ease that you just know the relationship is that solid. Well, in prayer with God, in this intimacy that continues to deepen and deepen and deepen, we open to the pure gift of regular time in silence. Maybe it's expressed in an open and fluid journaling that happens where you share every little tiny bit of information, knowing that God already knows it, but that you just need to be able to express it. Could be a depth in an awareness of God in creating art or music or dance or writing, where that flow is just so apparent. Another way, my particular favorite, is centering prayer. Some of you experience that in Episcopal 101, and I have had the privilege of experiencing it in our circle every Wednesday morning at 9:30. Like 15 to 20 of us meet every week. You're always welcome to join us. And we sit in the silence, and there's a particular method. Thomas Keating brought this ancient Christian tradition to our day back in the 70s. They renewed it, and they started an outfit called Contemplative Outreach, and I had the privilege of going last week for a week to Pennsylvania, and yes, it was freezing, but I liked it for just a week, and I walked the labyrinth, 2 inches of snow. It was beautiful, but it was also this serene learning and knowledge of this beautiful, beautiful silence. And Thomas Keating quotes St. John of the Cross when he says, "Silence is God's first language." And then he adds, and you'll see it in the clip we're about to show you, he adds, "Everything else is a poor translation." So let's look at this little clip.
Thomas Keating is a Trappist monk, spiritual teacher, and former abbot. Keating has written books on centering prayer, a meditative prayer practice that can trace its roots back to early Christianity. The books have given me a new perspective of my Christian faith, and I have traveled to the monastery in the Rocky Mountains in the USA to meet Keating.
Our emotional life wants an unlimited amount of security, freedom, and affection, based on the belief system that they're going to render us happiness. They can't possibly do so because they're fantastic. And it messes up all our relationships with God, ourselves, and other people. God is this true security. God is perfect love, and God is true freedom. And this is totally available. If you want to enter a deeper relationship with God, be still. Actually, silence is God's first language. Everything else is a poor trend.
When we experience this silence in practicing centering prayer, our only intention is to consent, to say yes to God's presence and action within. That's it. That's our only intention. We are surrendering completely to God, not knowing how God is going to respond. That's complete trust in our Lord. I was reminded of this in a joke that I heard the other day. So this father and son are out doing errands, and they decide to stop for lunch, and they go to their favorite diner, and they sit down up at the counter, and the father sits down on the stool, and he picks the son up and sits the son down on the stool, and they order sandwiches, and the waitress brings their sandwiches back, and the father says, "Let's have a silent prayer. Let's just pray in silence." And so they folded their hands and closed their eyes, and dad got through praying, and he looked up, opened his eyes, and the little boy has still got his hands folded and his eyes closed, and he stays that way for a while, and the dad's getting hungry, and finally the little boy opens his eyes, and the dad says, "What in the world were you praying about for so long?" And the little boy says, "How do I know it was a silent prayer?" And that's exactly the point. We surrender without having to know why. And then we see the results of it after the prayer and in between the prayer times, because our lives become closer and closer and closer in this intimacy with our Lord. Be still and know that I am God, I prayed at the beginning. Well, this stillness away from all the distractions of the world is really what we all are longing for, that meeting in bliss, whether we realize it or not. I admit that I watch a television show that I really like. It's called Grey's Anatomy, and I really, maybe some of you watch it. And last week, it was an episode with Miranda Bailey, and it was all about her, and she had a heart attack. And she was a surgeon and she's chief of staff, I think. So she's experiencing this heart attack, and in it, she kept having flashbacks to her childhood. And at one point, she was having a flashback of a time where she would go up in a tree to read. It was a way she could get alone by herself, have serenity, and read a book. And her mom just didn't get it. She came down, coming in a little bit later than she thought. It was just a few minutes, and the mom was just all over her, always just so worried about her safety, and she shouldn't be up in that tree, and da-da-da-da-da. And she didn't allow Miranda to just be, to just be. So then she goes through the surgery, and she's recovering, and she's doing really well, and her husband is visiting her, and they're kind of resting in her hospital room, and she puts her head back, and she looked at her husband, and they have a really healthy relationship, and she said, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to build me a treehouse. And he said, okay. Now, I don't know if she's up there praying or not, because they don't get into that in Grey's Anatomy, but it's a great, great metaphor for us to carve out that time on a regular basis if we want to see the fruits of the Spirit in our life. My prayer this day for all of us is that we would find that time, that we would take that time, that we would make that time, and I'm speaking to myself too, make that time for our relationship with God in silence and quiet, and then quite naturally in serving others in his holy name, because that's the natural result, is that then we are there in a huge way for other people. We can't help not doing that, just like Simon Peter's mother-in-law. She got up and started to serve them because she couldn't not do that. So filled with love was she. Let us pray. And you say to us, O Lord, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be. Amen.